This episode of the Citadel Cafe is brought to you by listeners like you. Visit patreon.com/JoelDuggan to find out how you can become a patron and help make this show possible.
This is the Citadel Cafe.
This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 155 for Wednesday, July 15th, 2015. My name is Joel Duggan, and the Citadel Cafe is where my friends and I hang out to talk about the geeky stuff that we are into. We cover everything from movies and television to books, apps, and websites. Joining me tonight is Mr. Lou Page from Zombies Ate My Podcast, Off the Cuff, and indie-love.com. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you. I'm excited.
It's been a whole month and a week.
Yes, it has. Lots of stuff has happened too.
Yeah, I mean, there's this whole kind of groove I fall in where, you know, I say, hey, how's your last month been? And we catch up. But I've got a funny feeling that we're just going to have to dive right into all of the crazy trailer news that's coming off of the San Diego Comic-Con.
It's kind of my favorite thing about Comic-Con. I don't really care about the announcement and some of the panels. Just give me some more trailers.
Yeah. I find sometimes the panels can be pretty good. It's a lot of fan service and it's probably exciting for the people that are there. But I don't particularly find them all that good. Except for some actors just have really good
charisma.
Just charisma and personality. And to see Ben Affleck and Henry Cavill goofing off like on stage. Like that kind of stuff is fun. You know, it's nice to pull back the curtain, but with these movies, and forgive me if I'm wrong here, but I feel like you might be the same way in terms of, I like seeing all the behind the scenes cool crap after I've seen the movie.
Yes.
But I don't like seeing behind the screen tours before the movie's even out.
Yeah. I can handle a few things. So we're going to probably talk about the Suicide Squad trailer here in a minute.
Potentially, yep.
Yeah. In the trailer, there is a clip of Batman on the roof of the car.
Right.
I was okay when they leaked footage of that scene because it was kind of our first look at the Joker and Batman on the roof of a car. And then they show that clip in the trailer and I was like, okay. I hope they're not going to show me anymore. And then it's like every little clip that we've seen behind the scenes is in this trailer. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
So I've seen what they're going to show me, but now I've seen the context in which it's being shown. So I'm okay.
Yeah.
But it was still kind of like, yeah, this is getting out of hand.
Yeah. I think the problem is that studios are struggling to deal with the ravenous internet.
Yeah.
You know, like you think you're releasing it to just San Diego. I got news for you guys. You got 30 seconds before it's up on YouTube somewhere.
See, and the problem is that the studios are also handling it wrong because they did let the Suicide Squad trailer come out, but not until after it got leaked. And they kind of released, Warner Brothers released a press release where they were like, we are disappointed in the fans.
Oh.
And like this, that, and the other thing. And then an hour later, they released the trailer and like, fine, you've all seen it already anyway. But it was like,
that's just no good. That's like, I'm taking my ball and I'm going home.
Yeah. It's like, if you're going to release the trailer, have the trailer ready to go to the public, maybe the next day. Let the people at Comic-Con have it. Let them tweet about it. Let them even leak their video footage and be like, well, here you go. Now everybody gets it, you know?
Yeah, or wait, you know, like just wait until that first leaked photo comes out and then be like, hey, you can watch this guy's shitty video or you can watch ours in 1080p on YouTube.
The one that I don't think is on our list here is the Deadpool movie had its footage leaked. And Ryan Reynolds came out because they said that they were going to release it this week. And Ryan Reynolds came out on Twitter and said, I apologize, but after we showed the video at Comic-Con, we found some glitches or errors in special effects, and we're tweaking the video, and in about 2 or 3 weeks, you'll get the video. We're sorry for the delay, but we're trying to make sure... sounds like they wanted to make sure they give a better experience.
Yeah.
And it's so, like, whatever, but still, at least we know it's coming.
Yeah, that's the PR version of what Warner Brothers said.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That somebody in PR actually got wind of that announcement and said, oh, hey, we're going to do it this way.
And I have seen a portion of that panel that was online and did not contain the video footage. They run the video, and then afterwards, the crowd demands them to rerun the trailer. And so Ryan Reynolds went over to the guy running the screen and makes him rerun the trailer.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think I remember hearing that clip. He said, this is like, fuck it, let's run it again or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
So.
God, I got the hiccups. You'll have to forgive me if I cut in and out here.
That's all right.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on. Maybe it's the heat. Maybe it's the fact that I'm melting.
It's got to be the heat.
Yeah, I mean, it's time now for the annual Joel is melting in his studio complaint. Oh, man, that was brutal. I hope this goes away. Entertainment for everybody right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's so hot in here. I think I actually have the hiccups. That's crazy. Wow. For those of you that don't recall from last year, actually last summer we took the summer off, so I wasn't podcasting in here that much. But it is damn hot in my apartment, especially on muggy days. And the humidity around here right now is 93, and it was about 30 degrees today. And it's probably about 35 in here right now, and I'm melting. So says the drip of sweat running down my nose. Just so you guys have a visual of how, you know, awesome I look when I podcast. But also the dedication that I have to the listeners, you know, for everybody. I mean, Lou's here every week when he's supposed to be, Hammond as well. I'm just going to keep on talking until these hiccups go away. Because this is going to be an embarrassing show if I do not. So you mentioned the Suicide Squad.
Yes.
And I'd seen that this was leaked. I clicked on a link and I saw the bootleg video thing and I said, you know what? Screw it. This is coming out. Or I know because I heard the murmurs of the Warner Brothers stuff that this was coming out. So I waited.
Yeah.
So I watched it tonight, actually. I had some time after dinner and I saw it on, I think it was on the movie trailers on my Apple TV. And I watched it. And I'm curious. I'm actually intrigued to see the movie. I didn't think I would be. I haven't got a lot of excitement from DC in their movies, with the exception of Man of Steel.
Yeah, I was going to say, when they were leaking footage of this earlier in the year, every time I saw people in costume, I was like, I don't know. I don't know. But after seeing this trailer, I'm actually kind of excited for this, which is not which is not the case, like, you know, maybe a month or two ago. I still don't know how I feel about the Joker.
Yeah,
but I will say this: it's not about look. If they give him a weird look, that's fine. It's how his behavior is on screen. I can deal with a weird looking or silly dressed Joker if his behavior and his mannerisms are right. And what we've seen kind of points in the direction that it might be what I'm looking for, just not his look.
Yeah, I don't know why they had to go all like emo tattoo with him.
That's the part that bothers me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm okay with the actor. I'm okay with the hair. I'm okay with the white face paint. I feel like the tattoos are a little much.
Yeah, actually, for me, it's the teeth.
Yeah,
that takes me out of it too. I feel like, I mean, they're taking some license, and I mean, we always complain, or I always complain, about Hollywood doing the same thing over and over again. So
they're definitely not doing the same thing,
right? So I can't really complain too loudly when I say, I want my traditional Joker, when I don't. You know, like, I don't want the same old thing. Like, I don't want someone to come on and do their best Heath Ledger impression, right? Like, I want someone to do their own thing. But I feel like there's a couple of iconic things that, if it's not broke, don't fix it. You know?
Yep.
And I feel like being spoiled by the Batman animated series and the Mark Hamill Joker, as I think so many of us are, you know, it's hard to hold a candle to that kind of stuff. You know, it's very difficult. Like, I mean, I did not think Christian Bale was going to be a good Batman. He's not fantastic, but the movies are fantastic.
Yeah.
And I was really on the fence about Heath Ledger, and he's my favorite.
Yep.
So, you have to kind of just stick your internet tail between your legs and just hold your breath until the movie comes out.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing, too, is that I'm excited to see with all of the cast members that have assembled for the Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
We're getting a variety of characters.
Who's playing Harley Quinn?
That is Margot Robbie.
She is cute.
She just did that movie with Will Smith that just came out on DVD. His last movie. So they just did a movie together and then went into doing this together.
Interesting. I don't think that Deadshot looks very good. I think that Smith looks ridiculous.
He looks okay. I'll have to see it in action before I...
Yeah.
But...
I'm not convinced that he can play a bad guy.
Deadshot's a bad guy, but he's not the worst of the bad guys, yeah. You know? He's kind of the bad guy with a heart of gold. Like, he doesn't kill people unless he's paid to, kind of thing.
Walking a fine line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. I'm trying to... Yeah, I mean, I remember the Suicide Squad from... There's a little bit of it in Arrow this year, and there's quite a bit of it in the animated universe.
Yes. We've got Killer Croc, Harlequin, Deadshot, Mako. She's the samurai.
Oh, okay, yeah.
She's actually from Arrow. If you've watched this season of Arrow, she's in it.
Yeah, she's the wife of the of the dude that dies. She kills him, doesn't she? Yeah.
Yes.
Spoiler. Sorry.
But yeah, she's in it. Captain Boomerang.
Who was Captain Boomerang? I didn't see him in the trailer at all.
You know the one that makes the comment about, well, we'll see what happens when the crazies come out or whatever?
Okay.
And it shows Harley Quinn and she goes, what? That's Captain Boomerang.
Yeah. On the list of really dumb supervillains.
He was in Arrow this season and he was kind of scary.
I don't know. Was he in Arrow or was he in Flash?
I think he was in both. I think it was that carryover episode.
Yeah, it's Captain Cold that's in Flash too. That's
just,
yeah. There are some DC villains that completely work in a video game and completely work in a cartoon, and then you get to live action and you kind of go, I don't know if I really need you to do Killer Croc in real life. Like for me, Killer Croc in a live action movie needs to be
big.
Yeah, well, he needs to be big and he needs to be not wearing a latex suit. You know, like have him be some psychotic, 300-pound wrestler that's filed his own teeth down. You know, like just have the Killer Croc be kind of like a metaphor as opposed to like a literal scaly mutant thing. Because I don't know, the supernatural in Batman doesn't really... It's the same reason why Clayface isn't in the movies. You know, like it's too much of a hard sell for people that want to watch a billionaire with gadgets kick the crap out of bad guys, right? You know, like
the only reason I think Killer Croc is going to work in this is there is a clip in the trailer where it shows it looks like a woman like in a cave, like spelunking.
Yep.
And she looks around and you see skulls everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that is the introduction of Killer Croc.
Yeah, no, maybe that would make sense.
In fact, I think it's over on Geek Tyrant. They did an article where the guy reversed all of the scenes and basically shows clips. And basically, we're going to get a Harley Quinn origin story in here.
Mm.
Because I didn't realize it, but the scene where it shows the Joker electrocuting somebody, that's Harley Quinn on the table.
Interesting.
So...
Interesting. I really like Harley Quinn.
They've nailed the look.
Yeah. And I think if they can nail the personality, I don't want a copycat, but if she can take as much as she wants from the cartoons and the video games, Harley Quinn is such a good character.
from what I've heard, is they've toned down her accent a little bit.
Well, you have to. I mean, she's over the top in the cartoons because you have to be. Like, voice acting is very different than being on screen.
Right. From what I've heard, they've toned it down a little bit, but she still has the same mannerisms and stuff, so.
Yeah, I like the, she looks in this particular trailer the same way that she does in, I think, the Batman Arkham Knight trailers?
I think it's the Arkham Knight, and she looks a little bit like she did in Arkham City a little bit.
Yeah.
But with, like, different color outfit.
Yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily need her to wear a corset or anything silly, but, I like the look and the, you know, the bubble gun snapping, baseball bat swinging. Like, I like
it works.
Arlene Sorkin was the lady that did the voice acting for the animated series, and she's fantastic. And, you don't want to copycat because that would be over the top, but... Yeah, I think that Harley Quinn is going to be... That's probably going to be my favorite part of that movie. It's probably going to be Harley Quinn. Is it Jared Leto? Is that his name?
He's the Joker.
Yeah. He could steal the show. It's kind of... I imagine as an actor, it is just finger-licking good to be someone that lands that part. Like, there's a lot of pressure, but there's a lot of fun, I would imagine, that you can have in playing a psychotic clown like the Joker. I'm wondering if we're going to get any kind of backstory on the Joker.
I think we're going to get backstory on everybody. I think that's literally going to be like the first half of this movie.
Yeah, because, I mean, one of the greatest things they did in Dark Knight was that just nothing in his pockets but knives and lint. Like, no ID, right?
Yeah.
And then you've got this really cool backstory in the original Batman movie with Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson. And you do, like, you know who he is, like, you know where he came from, Napier or something was his name, you know, like that's cool. But I'm wondering if we're going to get something like that. So
I think we're going to get more like the Dark Knight, where we don't know where he came from kind of thing.
Yeah.
Except he's just big, scary thing that came out of nowhere.
Yeah. I've got a funny feeling you're going to get that kind of hush hush moment when. If it's Amanda Waller, I'm assuming that's who that is in the trailer.
Yes, it is.
Is going over the files. You know, there's that exposition of like, well, we've got this person and this person and this person. And they give you the backstory kind of as they're reading through their documents. And then they're going to get to the Joker and either they're going to clam up and they're just like, woof, I don't even want to touch this guy.
I don't believe the Joker is a member of the Suicide Squad.
Oh.
I think he is part of what's got them out.
Oh, that's an interesting idea.
If you watch Batman Assault on Arkham, which is technically a Suicide Squad animated movie.
Oh, that's been on my list for a while and I haven't seen
that.
It's
really good.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're the one that recommended it to me.
But the premise is the Suicide Squad has been broken out because the Riddler knows where there's an atomic bomb that was stolen by the Joker. And they can't get the Riddler out of Arkham without making a fuss. So they've sent the Suicide Squad in to get him out.
Interesting.
And that's the premise of the animated movie. And I think, and while that's going on, the Joker uses what's going on to escape Arkham. And I think we're going to get something similar to that. Yeah. Whereas the Joker has caused something really big. And maybe he's in jail, but he's going to use whatever they're doing as an excuse to escape.
Yeah, that makes more sense. It would also explain why Batman is in there. He's probably chasing Joker and then encounters the Suicide Squad.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking of Batman, there was another big trailer that dropped.
Yes, there is.
During Comic-Con. And was this another one? This was another one where they kind of like put their... They kind of took their ball and went home and said, all right, fine, everybody's talking about it.
This one was actually expected to release. This one released about 45 minutes after it went on stage. Yeah.
Right on. Cool. I heard about it on stage, and then I ended up watching it just kind of on my own. What did you think of the Batman v Superman trailer?
There's things I really, really like about it, and then there's things I'm kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah.
We already know that... Cavill can play Superman.
Yep.
I don't have any questions about his performance. I'm not on the fence so much as I was about Affleck as Batman. I can see it, but I have questions about them. It feels forced, them putting Batman against Superman in the trailer.
Yeah.
It feels like they're forcing it and not letting it play out naturally.
Yeah. I feel like they could have done a better job in terms of, like, the biggest problem, I think, in the trailer, and again, this is all, you know, speculation, Batman feels myopic.
Yes.
You know, and he's not. He's one of the smartest superheroes out there. So
yeah,
for him to just kind of pigeonhole Superman as, like, I don't care how many people he's saving, he's got the power to destroy everybody, and therefore I have to, you know, take him down. And, you know, you don't get there that quickly, you know, with Batman. Where you get is Batman doesn't trust anybody, and that he's got a contingency plan, you know, for Superman or any other superhero if they ever get turned against the Justice League or the world. And so he's got a backup plan. Like, you keep a kryptonite ring and a lead sealed thing in your pouch, but you hope you don't have to use it. You don't go out guns blazing after this dude that can kick your ass.
Right.
You know, like, I
get the distinct impression that the trailers are misleading us.
Yeah.
Especially the title is misleading. They're calling it Batman versus Superman.
Dawn of Justice.
Dawn of Justice.
I
really feel like halfway through the movie, their fight is going to be over. And we're going to be them against a bad guy.
Yeah. Do we know who the bad guy is? Is it going to be Eisenberg? Luther?
Yes.
Yeah.
That is who we're led to believe it is.
Yeah.
They do show, in the trailer, they do show a body bag with Zod in it. So I'm assuming that's going to come into play at some point.
I'm betting that Luthor somehow gets his hand on Zod.
That's kind of what I'm assuming.
Yeah, and I'm betting it's through that he then reverse engineers how to fight Superman, because there's a giant kryptonite meteor in the trailer.
Yeah.
Which is a throwback to Superman Returns and the original Superman. Like, they always seem to steal meteorites from behind glass.
Yeah.
And they're always glowing green, and no one seems to wonder what the hell is going on. But kryptonite is one of the things that you've always just accepted about the Superman mythos. And it felt kind of funny, I have to say, in Man of Steel, he really didn't have any vulnerabilities other than just people.
Yeah, no, us as humans seem to not be able to do anything against him.
Yeah.
But him fighting Zod, it seemed like they were doing physical damage against each other, but, like, we couldn't.
Yeah. I really like where the Superman Batman... Is it Batman v. Superman or the other way around?
I think it's Batman versus Superman.
Yeah. I really like the way that they picked up right where the original Man of Steel left off.
Yes.
It's a great nod to... Now, whether or not it's in, they've taken it in a different direction after the fan reaction from Man of Steel, I don't know. But in Man of Steel, it's pretty obvious that there's a lot of destruction, there's a lot of buildings that go down, and there's no way that those buildings were empty. And even if they were, there's enough people on the street that a building like, you know, that many things happening.
Right.
People died. A lot of people died in that fight.
Yep.
And my justification with all of it was, it's a Superman origin movie. Like, he's just trying to figure out what to do while trying to save the planet.
He's barely learned how his powers work.
Yeah.
And he's trying to save people. And he's not worried about the collateral damage. He's worried about the global collateral damage.
Yeah. And he's also trying to fight Zod. Like,
He's not a soldier. He's done this before.
Yeah, he's not a soldier. It's not like he was in the military on Earth. Like, he's got zero experience. I mean, and they did a great job. Like, Zod is doing, like, military combat moves, and Superman is throwing right hands. Like, just, you know, it's not super fancy other than the flying, you know? And I rewatched, actually, Man of Steel the other night. It's on my list of things that I watched this week. And, I mean, obviously, I've talked about it on the show before, but I threw it in with the intention of just watching it for an hour over dinner and shutting it off. And I watched the whole thing. 2 hours and change, I just was glued to the screen. I hadn't seen it in at least a year. I mean, I'm a big Superman fan, that's no secret, but it really is a really good movie. And
yeah.
I was thinking a lot about it because of the way that they portray Superman in Dawn of Justice, coming out with having to answer to the Senate for all the collateral damage. They're holding him responsible. And it seemed like they were, the movie was written in like, and taking like quotes from the internet of people that didn't like Man of Steel.
Right.
For two reasons, you know, the collateral damage and the fact that he has to kill Zod at the end by snapping his neck. And watching Man of Steel under that, you know, crucial eye, kind of reawakened by this trailer, it makes sense. Like, he had no choice. I mean, Zod is so strong. He's as strong as Superman, right? They're on even playing fields.
Yeah.
And Zod is moving his head and with his eyes trying to kill this family in, I think, a train station. And yeah. Superman has to snap his neck. Like, it, you know, there's, he had no choice.
Right.
Now, Alistair, who was on the show a couple weeks ago, mentioned to me that, you know, he likes it as well. And he thinks it's going to be the new cinematic DC universe kind of stopping point for Superman. Like, that is it. You know, he had to kill the last surviving member of his race outside of himself, his only link to Krypton and his heritage, because the guy was a psychotic murderer and was trying to, like, kill people. And that's the one time ever he's going to kill somebody. Because he will not. Like, now he draws a line in the sand. This is it. I don't cross this line. I'm not the Suicide Squad, right? Like, I'm not that. I'm right. Something else. And I think we're getting a little bit of that in the trailer where Lois Lane has got her hand on his chest and telling him that, like, this symbol means something to people.
Right. And in the previous trailers, there's a monument to him and someone has written false god on it. And yeah. I think we're going to end up with like the group of people that worship him and he's going to be trying to shrug that off.
Yeah.
Like, that's not who I am.
I also think that I really like the way that they've portrayed some of the things in this trailer with the signs and the protests that are happening when he lands to go into the Senate building. Something that Perry White says in the first movie was like, can you imagine how the world would react if they knew that a guy like this was out there?
Yeah.
Right. And in your head, you're thinking like all the people that would ask for his help, all the people that would condemn him or worship him or the reverse. And there's signs in that protest thing in the trailer about God doesn't love aliens or something. Like, it just, like, the religious right would have a field day if yeah. Superman was real, right? Like, it's just, it's crazy. Which is funny because there's a whole, I mean, one can argue that there's a whole Jesus complex, like, in Superman, the whole mythos, right? Right? Like, it's a really interesting, I guess, plot device and history, not history. What's the right word I'm looking for? It's an interesting kind of superhero canon when you get into Superman, if you start really breaking it down, like not taking it at face value and start looking at it as like, well, what would this really happen if this was in the world today? Like with
right.
oil wars and all the horrible things that are going on the planet, like what would Superman really be like?
Also, us as a world would realize that there is a greater threat than ourselves against ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the world might unite a little bit more.
Yeah. And they also, I mean, they did a good job too in Man of Steel with Lois Lane figures out who he is in the first 45 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, like it's not, glasses aren't going to cut it. Apparently they cut it for everybody else. Cause it looks like he's doing the whole Clark Kent glasses thing in the new one. Which is funny because Henry Cavill obviously works out a lot for this role and you can't hide it underneath a plaid shirt.
No.
Like he still looks
They're
like
trying,
a brick shit house.
They're
yeah.
Trying.
Yeah. I'm hoping he pulls from, I really, I've always enjoyed what Christopher Reeves did with like the slouching and the kind of the very meek kind of presence
yes.
on film. I think that would be pretty cool. It looks like they've got a muscle suit on Cavill though, in the Superman outfit. I'm not sure if I want extra pad muscles. Just, you know, just let him be in the suit. He's a big dude.
Yeah, he is a big dude. And they've shown pictures of him without his shirt on. I don't think he needs any padding.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about what we've seen of Lex Luthor, though?
His speech was interesting, right up into the point where he said the red capes are coming. Because, well, one, I didn't get the joke. And two, it seemed too light. It seemed too. It seemed very Joker-esque. We were talking about it.
I think from what I've seen in the trailer and what I've heard about it, I think Lex Luthor is trying to make buddy-buddy with Superman under the guise of, no, I want to help you. And I think it's really being used as a ploy to make Superman look bad. And I think when he says the red capes are coming, I think it's that squad of soldiers. I think he's making a fake army to be under the guise of we fight for Superman.
Oh.
And when the red capes are coming, it's like he's sending people out to do Superman's bidding when they're really doing Lex Luthor's bidding.
Right.
And he's using Superman as the bad guy publicly to do the bad things he wants to get done.
Yeah. I think Eisenberg is the right... He's got the right chops. Like he played the kind of like super brain kind of asshole in The Social Network.
Yeah.
And I think that he could pull that off if he was a little bit darker, a little bit more aggressive. I enjoyed the physical presence of Lex Luthor in the cartoons. Like he's a big guy.
Yeah.
No physical contest to Superman, of course, but he's got a presence. And I don't get that presence from mop hair Eisenberg.
No, I don't either.
I'm hoping that that's a wig because there. I thought there was a shot somewhere of Eisenberg.
There are several shots of him without hair.
Without hair, but I don't know whether that's from this movie or from another one.
I think it's from this movie.
Yeah, I mean, we're also probably going to get a Luther origin story, so it's probably not going to be the Luther that we all think we want or know until like the end, where he's in jail and shaves his head, and you know, like I, you know, whatever. I mean, the good news is, they're all good actors.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, you're not going to get wooden dialogue from Jeremy Irons, you know, you're not going to get, Ben Affleck is a great actor too.
By the way, so there's one little small clip with Jeremy Irons as Alfred, and he looks way younger than I thought he was in the clip.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute, that's not Alfred.
Yeah, well, not Alfred, but also Jeremy Irons is not a young man either, and he looks a lot younger than normal in that clip too.
Yeah,
maybe it's a flashback. You know, I've seen that trend a lot lately in TV and movies where they do a flashback with the same actor, but they put on like a ton of makeup to make them look a lot younger because it's supposed to be 20 years previous or something like that. But I'm okay. I'm down with Jeremy Irons as Alfred. I think he's perfect.
I agree.
Yeah. Who's Michael Caine? Michael Caine was pretty good. Michael Caine was too... For this movie, I feel like Michael Caine might have been a little bit too meek.
Yes.
You know, I feel like we're looking for the field medic, Alfred.
Yeah.
Yeah, in this new one. So, I don't know. Overall, I mean, I'm still going to go see it. I'm probably going to enjoy it.
I was glad we got to finally see Wonder Woman in it.
Yeah, Gal Gadot.
But we still haven't seen anybody else. So, I'm like, okay.
How many people need to be in this movie? I'm okay with just Batman and Superman. Like,
there is an Aquaman cameo at some point. I do know that.
Wonderful. I feel like it's so hard not to look at all of this and just think DC is playing catch up to Marvel.
Yeah.
You know, and Marvel carefully crafted their kind of Avengers splash over, 4 years or longer. You know, in terms of making, 4 years of released movies, probably 8 years of making them, right? And from, you know, Captain America and Iron Man and say, hey, why don't we make a Thor movie? Hey, why don't we just lead this all into the Avengers and, you know, we'll do that. And
It definitely feels like DC is rushing to catch up, and I really think that they need to slow it down.
Yep.
And I get the distinct impression that they've realized they need to slow it down.
Yeah. I don't know if I would watch an entire Ben Affleck Batman movie, though.
It's coming, and he's directing it and writing it.
That's interesting. That's never a good thing.
It was announced that it's him, and then he's writing it alongside somebody else who I think helped write this Dawn of Justice movie.
Right.
Like, they're co-writing it. But it was announced that he is going to star and direct a Batman film.
Sam Raimi produced and directed Spider-Man 3, just saying.
Yep.
When you don't have somebody else to answer to, sometimes it can be not good. Not good.
Yeah, Warner Brothers doesn't have a good track record.
No. Well, I've got one more trailer to talk about that I really do need to mention, especially because just before the show, you had mentioned that the leaked link has been removed from the internet.
Yes, this is the one leaked video to the internet I have not seen this week.
Oh, and I really hope that Blizzard / Legendary can put their heads together and just put it out there. I realize that it was great at Comic-Con. I think they are doing everybody a disservice, right? Like they need to have, like, from what people are seeing, you know, from what I saw, which was a sideways video of a dude filming on a cell phone between the two heads of the guys in front of him with color commentary. The guy's an idiot. He didn't do it the whole time. He made one comment that the whole trailer for the Warcraft movie, which is coming out 2016. He said that, it's all just one big computer. This is Avatar. I've lost interest already. And it's like, for one, he can't even form a proper sentence to talk about what he's looking at. But of course there's a lot of CG animation. Do you realize how large an orc is? Like, I don't want a guy in a rubber suit. You know, like I want a, you know, 8 feet tall, probably 8 feet wide monster in front of me when I watch this.
The one thing I will say is I haven't seen the trailer. I knew that about 95% of this movie was going to be CG. Like, it's like an almost all CG movie, but it's also in the hands of Duncan Jones.
Yeah.
Duncan Jones has not made a movie I've been happy with everything he's ever done. Even if I didn't like the movie, I've always been like, I liked this aspect of it. I just didn't like the movie itself. It's not that I didn't like the way it looked or the plot. It's just the movie wasn't for me.
Yeah, subjective, right? I mean, it's a good movie, just not your kind of movie. Yeah,
right.
I know what you're saying. Well, Weta Workshop is doing the armor and stuff, like the physical props.
Yeah.
From, I mean, Lord of the Rings fame. So I'm down with that. I think I mentioned last week that Tom Racine, a friend of mine online, had posted some pictures from San Diego, and they look badass. The posters and stuff that came out with Comic-Con for this movie were okay. They're kind of over rendered. It's kind of hard to tell what you're looking at. It's very pop art. It's not so much. It doesn't give you any kind of a glimpse into what the movie looks like. However, this low res trailer really looked good. Like I'm impressed. The way that they're moving around. I mean, it's obviously the same kind of mocap thing that you saw with Gollum and Avatar. And I thought the acting in Avatar was really good. Like, I thought they did an excellent job of capturing the actors' faces and translating them into some of the orcs. The only kind of visual kind of step back that I took was Durotan, who is one of the main orcs in the trailer. It depends on which angle you're looking at him. He looks a little bit too handsome to be an orc. It's like in that Incredible Hulk movie when Hulk was too pretty.
Yes.
Like, he's too good looking. No, not Incredible Hulk. The first one, the Ang Lee one.
Yeah,
just Hulk. Called Hulk, I guess. So yeah, he doesn't look grizzled enough. He looks too pretty boy in that movie. And Durotan looks a little kind of pretty for an orc, when some of the other orcs around him are obviously pretty gnarled and great big underbites, and they're screaming and yelling and banging on shields and stuff.
Right.
And what I've found so interesting about all of the news I've been following about the Warcraft movie is that they're setting it so far back in time. So for everybody that, you know, is familiar with the World of Warcraft and all the different stuff that happens with the MMO and all the characters that are involved, this is before all of it. This is before the orcs actually get to Azeroth, which is where Warcraft, Warcraft 2, Warcraft 3, and World of Warcraft all take place in Azeroth.
Right.
This is before, or kind of like the arrival of the orcs.
From what I've seen now, like just photo-wise and of props and stuff, it looks like they're really going all the way back to the first Warcraft games, where it was orcs versus humans.
Yeah, pretty much. And
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, are you familiar with the Dark Portal?
A little bit.
Okay. So in the trailer, you're witnessing the construction of and the opening for the very first time of the Dark Portal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So the trailer leads up. It's got Duritan, who you don't know it's Duritan at the time, but he's talking to whatever, you know, one of his right-hand dudes as they're walking up to this area where there's a big storm of green lightning happening in the distance, and they're kind of figuring out what's going on. All the clans are gathering. There's some kind of conversation between Duritan and his wife, who's pregnant. For anybody that follows Warcraft, Thrall is a huge Warcraft character, and this is his dad. So Thrall is the little baby in the belly.
Yeah.
And Duritan is the, I don't think he's the war chief yet, but he's one of the higher ups in his clan. Yeah. He's probably his clan leader because the war chief is a horde thing. I'm not even sure that this is even happening yet. So when he arrives at the dark portal, which is not really anything, it's more like scaffolding filled with bodies, which is disturbing. And Gul'dan is there. And Gul'dan is a big bad guy in Warcraft. He's a warlock, and he's there talking about his plan for opening the portal. He needs souls, not bodies. He needs live prisoners to then build the dark portal on top of. Like, it's grim. Yeah. And then he sucks the souls out of 1,000 people at once and opens up the portal, and then the horde runs through. A horde of orcs. And I think he says horde at one point, but he's not talking about it as like the horde, the faction. I think he's referring to them as like a horde, like just a,
right,
an angry mob sort of thing. And there's a part where a green orc, who I'm assuming is Orgrim, but I don't know for sure, is talking to Duritan and talking about the death magic from Gul'dan and how it's made him strong and how it's given him green skin. Because, I mean, everybody think orcs and they think little green goblins and green orcs. But in World of Warcraft and in Warcraft, the orcs are red-skinned or have various different color skins, actually. Some of them are gray. But
yeah,
none of them are green. They're all more fleshy-toned. Just like there's no green people. You know, like it's all kind of more skin, right, in terms of aesthetics. So this blood magic or death magic that Gul'dan is using is turning people green. And or turning orcs green. And there's no people in this trailer at all, with exception of maybe one glimpse at a prisoner that was a human, but that was it. It's all orc all the time. True to the guy's ridiculous comments, it's all CG. Like, there's really not much for real people. But there's some subtle acting going on, even with a pixelated trailer. The story is really interesting to me, and I'm ready to watch, like, fresh IP. I realize that Warcraft has been around for 20 years, but
it's a fresh movie IP.
Yeah, it's going to be new for a lot of people. Like, my dad is going to love this movie, and he's going to have no idea who anybody is. Like, it's all going to be new to him. It's going to be like for all the people that did not read the books but went to go see The Lord of the Rings and preferred to digest it that way, right? And I feel like this is going to be an awesome experience for people. I was impressed, and I'm just dying to see it in like HD, because it looks like the still renders, the images of the orcs look incredible.
Yeah. My whole gripe is I'm not a huge Warcraft. I played the Warcraft 1, 2, and 3. I don't play WoW, but I'm familiar enough with the universe that I'm interested in what they're going to show us here.
Mm.
And I keep hearing people be like, yeah, it's been in development forever. Yeah, I don't know how this is going to be. Even fans I hear being like, yeah, I really want this to be good, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever. And I'm like, I feel like this trailer, if they don't release this in the next week or two, I think it's going to hurt sales.
Yeah. And I think, too, they have to clarify, because there are some really fantastic cinematics out there. If you just Google Warcraft, you know, trailer, what you get is a lot of the trailers for the video games.
Yeah.
And if you're not someone that's aware, or you're looking at just a mislabeled YouTube video, you're not going to realize that you're watching the CG animated trailer for Warlords of Draenor.
Right.
And that's going to be confusing as shit, because they're time traveling and it's in the future but in the past at the same time. Like, it's got nothing to do with the movie trailer other than the fact that the Dark Portal's in it again.
Right.
Right? Like, it's really, I imagine that the lore people at Blizzard must just have this incredible amount of knowledge in their brain that is of very little use outside of their job. right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure there are folks there that are just like encyclopedias of lore, but
they must have an entire internal document that is like basically describing step by step the entire history.
And there's going to be an external document soon. I can't remember. I think it was on the instance. They were talking about an art book that's coming out, and it's like the history of Warcraft.
Yeah.
So similar to, I think it was the Zelda Hyrule book that was out like last year, the year before, where it talks about like all of the Zeldas and it talks about all the concept art, but then also talks about the story and who the characters are, where they're from and what their importance is. I think we're going to get that with World of Warcraft, which would be fantastic. Because, I mean, I'm an art book junkie, but then also to have, like, we can skip ahead, I guess, because I think we're pretty much done with Comic-Con. Did you have any other trailers that you wanted to talk about?
No, I just wanted to say, if you can find a copy of it out there, watch the Deadpool trailer. It's awesome, but it should be coming in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, no, I'll probably wait on that one. I like Deadpool and I like Ryan Reynolds, but I'm not, like, champing at the bit to see it. But the one thing that I've been doing this week, which has been of my own kind of effort, is to reduce the amount of things that I'm watching and increase the amount of things that I'm reading and or playing. Because I realized that I was kind of going to Netflix as, you know, just filling free time. And it's free time I don't have. It ends up just being things that I should be sleeping or I should be doing something else. Like, even if it's just like looking at art on the internet, like I really need to not just hit next and watch two episodes of insert show here, you know, and just kind of restrict it a little bit. I had subscribed to World of Warcraft, Warlords of Draenor, back around my birthday in April as a present to myself. I bought the expansion. It was on sale. And I gave myself 3 months. I thought, hey, good opportunity to check out the story because I'm hearing lots about it. And I'm behind and I should really go tackle this because I knew about the movie coming out. And that was ramping up. And I think, well, we're getting in probably less than a year for this movie. I really should familiarize myself again with the world because I really enjoy Warcraft. Turns out over 3 months, I played 3 hours, not incredibly cost effective. However, over the last week, I've played a couple of hours. So I'm already kind of on track. I let my subscription renew for one more month and I thought I would try between now and the middle of August to play a little bit more, to the point where this is how busy I am. I'm scheduling my Warcraft time. I don't have to do it with other people. I don't have to play with other people. I'm not trying to schedule that way. I'm just trying to set aside time to like, no, don't do whatever it was that you thought you're going to do. Sit down and play Warcraft. And it's also kind of a way to just make sure I get some downtime and relax because I've been working a lot.
You're a workaholic, Joel. You're a workaholic.
Yeah, I try not to be. Well, I say that and then I think about how much Netflix I watch and I'm really not, you know? So I've been playing the Warlords of Draenor and I'm a few more quests in. I got to run into Gul'dan in my adventure. I've also seen a couple of the main orcs from the animated/painted trailers that we talked about on TCC quite a while ago.
Yeah.
Kargath Bladehand, I think is how he goes. And then there's one other person, I can't remember who it is. But I've run into both of those guys and I'm really enjoying the story. It's short. I haven't done much, but it's been very linear. There's not been a lot of like going back and forth. Something I really enjoyed about the expansion for Mist of Pandaria was that you would complete some quests, you would turn them in down the road, and then they would give you more quests and they would send you farther down the road. So you were always kind of exploring, getting story. Now, some of the story was dumb, like, oh, I have to collect 4 pumpkins for you and deliver them to the lady down the street because she needs them.
Yep.
Like, that kind of stuff was not, you know, great for me in Pandaria. There does not seem to be a lot of that right now. I've been burning huts. I've been rescuing orcs and I've been killing bad guys. So, you know, that to me seems more adventure worthy.
Yes.
Than collecting produce. I like the graphics. I say that knowing that I've got the crappiest settings on my old computer to play this game, which is one of the things that it's really tough. It's hard to sit down and play when I'm not getting a really good video game experience. Like the last game I played, well, I guess I've been playing Heroes of the Storm, but Heroes of the Storm actually runs really well on my computer. But I'm trying to think about the last grand scale game I played. The last grand scale game I played, I think, was on Xbox. Like I think it was Assassin's Creed. So, and that's a great game and it looks good. So it's really hard to go back to these very chunky, cartoony, wow graphics. So yeah, I've been in there and enjoying it and really digging the story. And now with this Warcraft trailer that we were just talking about, like, I really want to get through and find out a little bit more about the history. And just researching the trailer tonight and looking up a few other things that I had questions about that I'll get to a little bit later in the show, has just opened my eyes a lot more to, oh, I know who this person's father is. Like, this makes a lot more sense now.
Right.
The 'cause in this particular expansion, you essentially go back in time when you go through the dark portal to help save the world. Basically, bad orcs are coming into Azeroth, and they have more information than they should because somebody has gone back in time and given it to them. So then they are, again, the opposite of what happens in the movie trailer, which is the green orcs coming through. It's the red orcs coming right through. And it's the Iron Horde. And so then we have to go through me. And I, this is the other thing that I like about this, is that I'm a level 90 paladin. So going through this, everybody's kind of like, I'm sure everybody gets the same experience, but you really kind of feel like a hero. Like, you're not level one, you know, like, you're in there with some serious shit, you know, and it's not difficult. My main complaint about World of Warcraft is that the questing experience is not necessarily something where you feel threatened.
Right.
I don't like video games to be too hard, but I really enjoy the idea of coming around a corner and going, woof, I should wait a second before I go out there, because there's at least three dudes and I know one of them I can almost beat one of them, and there's three of them. I should not go out there. Like, I like that feeling of like, well, how am I going to beat them? What's the best way? Should I fight? Should I outsmart them? Like, what should I do? And this is just, it's pretty button mashy so far. It's also the first like 2 hours, 3 hours of questing.
Right.
Like, I'm not judging it at all. I'm having fun. I'm enjoying it. I'm looking
That's
forward
what counts.
To, yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to get to more stuff with the warlords. 'Cause I'm curious about those guys. 'Cause in those cinematics that they released before the expansion, man, do they ever build those guys up. And, we'll have some images in the show notes. I was pretty disappointed when I got to meet, Kargath for the first time. He was kind of big and purple and cartoony. And I appreciate that WoW graphics are not, you know, crazy awesome, but I really feel that sometimes there's just a little bit too much silly in Warcraft. And
yep.
I wanted Kargath to be really dark. I mean, the dude cut off his own hand to escape slavery and put a sword in its place. Like, that's badass. And if you look at some of the concept art, he looks fucking mean. And he looked like a big purple goofy Hulk. And he sounded like one too when we first got there, because he's chuckling and, you know, throwing minions at us and stuff like that. Like, it wasn't overly, no one seemed scared.
Right.
You know, like, I feel like when you're introducing your big baddies, you know, somebody that I'm with, like Archmage, oh gosh, what's his name? Khadgar? There's too many, everybody starts to sound the same after a while. So Archmage Khadgar, if he had been on his heels a little bit in that cutscene, I would have been like, ooh, crap. Okay, so Archmage dude is not, he's pretty scared of this guy. I should probably be scared of this guy too. Instead, Khadgar's like, well, whatever, he's just a blah, you know, and we just kind of keep going. He's very cocky, and it's just like, you don't feel like you're running for your life, but that's what the story is telling you that you're doing. It's saying, oh, we're outnumbered and we're outgunned, we should run for our lives. Hey, quick, get into the cave. Well, that won't hold them for long. And it's like, well, you didn't seem scared 3 minutes ago, like, you know, so it's not really balancing out, but I'm at least curious now. I've played enough quests that I want to know, well, I'm in the cave, where do we go now? Like, I want to know what's at the end of the tunnel.
Right.
So I'm going to be enjoying that. I'm not going to turn the Citadel Cafe into Warcraft week all the time. It just so happens that everything is kind of lining up this time around. But that's what I've been doing. I've been playing instead of watching. I've been doing the World of Warcraft thing, and I need to go find some of my old plugins, because, man, playing that game raw is when you're used to having things set up a certain way, it's hard to find my stuff. I really don't know what I'm doing. It's also been so long that my combat is really nil. Like, I'm using the same four keys over and over again, and I don't remember what anything does. And
you'll get practice.
Well, and I've been out for like a year and a half, so there's lots of changes to my character and my class. I'm just like, I don't know what any of this does anymore. And, you know, it's not like you're going in and you're like, oh, okay, well, I have an attack and I have a spell and I've got a heal. And no, I've got like, you know, 20 or 30 things on my action bar that I have to figure out, well, do I cast this one before that one? Or the other way around. And, you know, it's just like, it's very nerdy. And I am currently sucking at it. I'm sure it takes me a lot longer to do anything than I really want. But so far it's at least really cool. I like the design. I really like the design of the world that I'm in.
Right.
As an artist, it's really cool to see that stuff, even though the graphics are crappy, not from Blizzard, but like my computer is not rendering things to the best of their ability. I took a couple of screen grabs actually, of like what WoW could look like at Ultra, and then what it does look like as I have to play it, which is on like the lowest of the low settings. And even then, Ultra, I'm sure that my graphics card is not giving me, it's not capable of delivering the Ultra graphics, so I'm probably not even seeing those. But yeah, sooner or later, I'll end up with a new PC. But for now,
you'll get there.
Yeah, for now, I'm going it the old-fashioned way. So what have you been doing? Have you been playing any games? Have you been watching stuff on TV? Like what's been?
I've been doing a lot of watching stuff on TV, and I've come across a new show that's new since like the last time I was on here, I believe.
Oh wow!
Mr. Robot. Have you heard of it?
No.
Okay, it's on USA, which does kind of they're known for making some of their shows are good, but everything is usually kind of schlocky. Like, most of it's kind of like a throwback to, like, 80s TV, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's not, like, an overarching story. It's usually episodes of the week. Like, Monk was one of their shows. Psych was a USA show. Well, Mr. Robot is something different. Mr. Robot feels like an HBO or Showtime show. Right down to where there was kind of nudity in the first episode, where I was like, whoa, this is kind of like low-budget cable, not high-budget cable. What's going on here? But the premise is your main character is a guy named Elliot. And Elliot is a hacker. And he uses his hacking abilities to ruin bad guys' lives. And he begins the episode by talking to you as basically you are his conscience. He is talking to you and explaining to you his story. And he begins by showing up at a guy's in a coffee shop. The guy owns the national chain of this coffee shop, and he tells him that he is there to tell him that he knows that the coffee shop is really a front for a child porn ring, and that, don't worry, the FBI is coming for you. And he's like, I'll pay you to go away. And he's like, sorry, that's not what I do. And he gets up from the table, and as he leaves the coffee shop, you can see what looks like an FBI raid vehicle pull up in front of the coffee shop.
Oh, wow.
And this guy gets busted. And you're like, whoa, okay, so this hacker means business. And what you find out is his day job is he works for a security firm that keeps hackers out.
Interesting.
And so he has severe like schizophrenia, and he has issues, and they use real technology and hacker lingo throughout the show. They don't dumb anything down. They talk about different kinds of attacks hitting a server. And they talk about a DDoS attack. And they don't explain to you what a DDoS attack is. They just expect you as a viewer to know what it is.
Yeah, or to look it up, yeah.
Right. And they don't dumb anything down. I believe they even covered this on Daily Tech News Show.
Oh, cool.
And I believe Darren Kitchen from Hack 5 even said that they're about 90% accurate on the stuff they're talking about.
Oh, cool.
So
I'm behind on my Tech News Today, but yeah. Or not Tech News Today, my Daily Tech News Show.
I understand. There's a lot of shows out there. And only enough time in the day for a few. But, so, the premise is, he gets into a server that's being attacked by a group that calls themselves the F Society. That's what they call themselves. F, the letter F, Society. And
Oh, hackers.
Yep. And so he finds this file that kind of leads him to who these people are. And he doesn't delete it. He makes a copy for himself. And he gets approached on the subway by Christian Slater, who you don't know his name. All you know is he wears like a worker t-shirt with the name Mr. Robot on it. And he approaches him and says, "We'd like you to help us. We are F Society. And that the guy that your security firm is protecting is a bad guy. And we'd like to get him. And we'd like to screw over the company you protect," which is called something like Electronics Corporation or something.
Mm-hmm.
But the main character always refers to them as the evil company.
And, oh, okay.
And whenever anybody says the name of the company, he tells you as the narrator, I've hacked my brain. I no longer hear blah, blah, blah company. I only hear evil company.
Okay.
And so every time someone says the name of the company, they refer to them as the evil corporation or the evil company. And it's really weird and interesting, but he ends up helping Christian Slater and he's not sure whose side he's on. And there's all kinds of complicated drama-y things going on. And he has severe social anxieties and like he's trying to deal with his social anxieties while he hacks government agencies. And it's really interesting. And it has a very Fight Club theme and feel to it. Whereas instead of being they get together and they fight, it's like they get together and they hack. But there's also this aspect of if you're paying close attention, it's almost like Mr. Robot might be Tyler Durden, as in he's not really there. The main character might be doing it all himself, but you don't know. And then you'll see something that will make you think twice about that. And then you go, I don't know. It's very interesting. And the first episode is free and on YouTube.
Oh, right on. Well, it's nice that you can go check it out and not be torrenting or downloading it or streaming it from some site that's not supposed to.
In fact, they name each episode like you'd be downloading it off a torrent.
That's great.
Like, it's literally called, "This is episode Mr. Robot 01 season 02 dot MKV. And you're like,
clever. That's clever.
They know their audience.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure that this is probably downloadable somewhere too.
Oh, it is. I'm pretty sure that I think they might be putting them all up on YouTube, but I know that the first episode was.
Yeah.
And they put it up like a month before the show even premiered.
Yeah. If it wasn't, what network is it on? Do you know?
USA.
USA Network. That's the same network that does Suits.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like USA Network is probably on the fringe. Like they're kind of like FX Network. And
yeah. Sometimes they make a show and it's like, it's okay. And then sometimes they do a show and you're like, this is really good. Oh, and it get canceled.
Yeah. I kind of wonder if shows that have this kind of coolness factor have a really difficult time with a model, like a marketing model. Yeah. Like if you're releasing it on YouTube, if you're naming it like it's downloadable, it's probably downloadable somewhere. It's like, how are you making your money? You know, and that's, it's tough. I mean, like, I suppose sometimes the empty vapid shows that just appeal to like everybody and their dog make enough money that networks can kind of fund passing projects on their own.
Yeah.
But yeah, it sucks that.
And from what I hear, everybody really likes this show that has seen it and it's doing really good numbers. I'm going to be curious because I've seen the first two episodes and I believe there's three out right now. I'll be curious as to see where they go.
Hmm.
I think it's only going to be like a 10-episode season.
That's good. I'm happy with concise.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of what you were saying as you were describing it reminds me of Dexter.
Yeah, it's kind of that vibe. But instead of killing people, it's like he uses hacking to ruin people's lives.
Hmm.
Like sees a therapist in the first episode, and she's like the closest thing he has to like a friend. And he finds out that the guy she's dating is really married and he's hiding it from her.
Mm.
And he shows up at the guy's door and goes, "I know you're married. Leave her alone or I'll ruin your life." And you're like, wow, okay. he doesn't mess around.
Yeah. Too funny. Well, that wraps up what we've been watching, and looks like we're going to have just enough time to get into the Internet Minute this week. So, as per usual, Tweaked Audio is the sponsor of the Internet Minute. You can go to tweakedaudio.com for high-performance noise-reducing earbuds. You can use the code TCC at checkout for free shipping and 30% off your entire order. That's tweakedaudio.com, and the code is TCC. For my pick this week, it is once again Warcraft related, although also art related. And it's not Warcraft related. Well, it is. Yeah.
It is and it isn't.
So here's the thing. Blizzard has put out this game, Heroes of the Storm, that we've talked about on the TCC before. And it's multiple characters from across their universe of games, including sci-fi and fantasy and old games, Warcraft being one of them. And they had a Heroes of the Storm art contest. It's been going on for about a month or so. And there's been really cool submissions on DeviantArt. I actually just saw a post that I shared on social media probably last week where they announced the semi-finalists. And I went through and I was looking at all of these people's Deviant accounts because I was finding new people to watch and new artists to follow and new artwork to check out. And they have announced the winner of the Heroes of the Storm Ultimate Fan Art Contest. I'm trying to remember his first name. He goes by Templier Painter on DeviantArt. And I'm looking him up quickly to see if he's got a first name attached to his account. Sometimes he doesn't. Dmitry Prozorov is his name. He has painted a fantastic scene of characters Vala from Diablo and the witch doctor fighting Uther, who is a Warcraft character. So there was Warcraft involved. And it is a really, really well-painted piece of fan art. It is, it looks like an oil painting. It's got that kind of vibe to it, but it's all done digitally. And it is something that I would put on my wall for sure. The accolades and the victory, not that he was in rough company. There's been fantastic submissions across the board.
Yeah, I was looking at the semifinals, and all 25 of them were absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy how much detail and time people have put into these pieces. So if you go to us.battle.net and then Heroes, you'll be able to find the post for Heroes of the Storm Ultimate Fan Art Contest. You can also do a quick search for Heroes of the Storm on DeviantArt, and you will be able to find a link to any of the number of people that have participated, and they're usually linking to one another. So very quickly, you'll be able to find the main posts. I also feel like DeviantArt and Blizzard on DeviantArt have made official posts. Also easy to spot because they've got different colors. They're very HTML and custom designed to stand out because it's obviously a sponsored contest. But yeah, it's been some pretty sick prizes and stuff going on. Signed poster of his own artwork from some of the devs at the team, and the cash prize and signed copies of the game and all kinds of really cool stuff to an artist that has been obviously working their butt off. Like, this guy knows what he's doing. I'm incredibly jealous of his painting skill. It's nuts. So what about you, Luke? What's been on your plate this week?
I have a quick another trailer.
Another trailer? Imagine
another
that.
Trailer. But it's something I don't know a whole lot of, but I'm familiar with the book series that it's based on. I've never read them, but I know the basic premise. There's a series of books from the 70s or early 80s called The Chronicles of Shannara.
Okay.
And they're done by give me a second and I'll tell you the guy's name.
Brooks.
Terry Brooks. I always get him, and there's another guy named Terry Goodkind, and I always get them mixed up.
Yeah, Terry Goodkind's books have not been something I really enjoy, but I hear Terry Brooks is good. I feel like he's been at HalCon before.
I'm pretty sure he might have been. But anyway, his books, the Shannara books, have had their rights bought by MTV of all places. And I was really like, okay, this isn't going to be any good. MTV is doing it. How good can it be? And this trailer is kind of a first look with discussion from the creators behind it and some of the producers behind it. And Jon Favreau is one of the executive producers.
Nice.
And they interview him about it, and it was filmed in New Zealand.
Wow.
And it looks like they're trying to make a TV version of Lord of the Rings.
I'm
it looks
on,
really good.
I'm on board for that.
All it takes is about 30 seconds of the trailer, and you're like, okay, I'm sold.
Nice.
Because, spoiler, I don't know if they tell you in the Shannara books right off the bat, but I know from people that have told me, and I'm pretty sure it's public knowledge, Shannara is actually Earth, like 1,000 years in the future.
Oh, neat.
And like a post-apocalyptic thing happened, and now magic runs everything.
Oh, cool.
And they show you some shots of what looks like Seattle destroyed in the trailer here. And it's really neat.
Nice. As long as there's no zombies, I'm okay. I'm kind of done.
No, it looks like orcs.
Ah.
Or something like that.
Right on. Yeah, I definitely prefer goblins over the undead.
And it's Lord of the Rings tie-in is John Rhys-Davies is in it.
Oh, is he? Cool.
So I don't usually expect much from MTV, but this kind of has made me excited. So
yeah, very cool.
Check it out.
I enjoy John Rhys-Davies.
Yeah, he's done some bad stuff, but I always like him in it.
The thing is, I'm going to have a hard time not liking anything that he's in anymore because I've met him. He's a really charismatic son of a bitch. So
yeah.
It's going to be difficult not to just look on anything he does fondly in the future. But did you remember Sliders? Do you remember that TV show?
He was always my favorite part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought.
And unfortunately, he didn't stick around for all of it.
No, I think that show eventually went to shit. I don't remember how it ended because I think I stopped watching after he left.
I think it was like third season. Pretty much, almost all their viewership fell off a cliff.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, folks, that brings us to the end of the Citadel Cafe. We record live every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on the citadelcafe.com/live. Our mobile audio stream there is provided by Alpha Geek Radio. You can also go to tunein.alphageekradio.com to find out how you can listen on your favorite audio device. That includes mobile people, so if you can't be in front of a browser, you can always just listen to us on your phone. For the Citadel Cafe, choose Channel 1 at Showtime. Music for the show was composed by Kevin MacLeod, and the episode will be available on demand via iTunes and our website, thecitadelcafe.com. That is where you're going to be able to find the show notes and links to as many of these trailers as I can find. I'm kind of sad I didn't do some screen grabs of the Warcraft trailer earlier, but if I can find anything, I will certainly post it there and try to point you into places where you can find some more stuff. If you have some things to say about The Suicide Squad, Batman v Superman, or Warcraft, or anything, hit us up with an email or check us on Twitter or Facebook just by name, The Citadel Cafe, at Twitter, Facebook, or Gmail. And that's the best way to get in touch with us. My name, as I mentioned at the top of the show, is Joel Duggan. You can find everything that I am up to online at joelduggan.com. A huge thank you, as always, to our 18 supporters on Patreon. Patrons like Robert Sherman, who I know has been a reader and a listener for a while. Thanks, Robert. Much appreciate the support. If you enjoy the show, please consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/joelduggan. For as little as $1 a month, you can help support the Citadel Cafe, as well as my webcomic work on Starcrossed. And right now, we're heading towards $100 a month, which will basically pay for the Adobe Creative Cloud Suite, which is what I use to make the podcast and the comic and also a lot of my other artwork. So I'm looking forward to putting some new kind of sketch goals and some other fun stuff up on the Patreon, and Adobe Creative Cloud is going to help me do that. So if you are interested, go to patreon.com/joelduggan and become a patron today. You can also follow me on Twitter and Facebook, where I do a bunch of normal things like everybody and post really cool crap. Lou, where can people find you online?
The easiest way to find me is at BusyZombieLord on Twitter. And you can also check out what else I do by searching for Zombies Ate My Podcast on iTunes or whatever podcast device you use. That's pretty much the easiest way to find me.
You have been listening to the Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, easy, and cheap, but you can only pick two.
Check out this Shannara trailer.
I've got it queued up to watch right after the show.
It's really crazy. Like, I was like, whoa, this is MTV has a budget. All that reality TV is paying for something.
Oh, God. It's one something I do not miss about cable at all is reality TV. Even just flipping through the channels, I always cringed. Yeah.
The only thing that we occasionally watch is there's a couple of cooking shows that we watch.
Yeah.
That's about all I can handle.
Chat room, thanks for hanging out. I unfortunately have to go because I'm about to melt into a small puddle on the floor. Lou has got another podcast to do, though, and I believe you guys are live on Alpha Geek Right After Us.
I believe we are going to be.
Awesome. Zombies Ate My Podcast coming your way in probably about 10 or 20 minutes.